We continue the Shir Sichei Sanan, Seif Kuf Peches, Benazal Sayings, paragraph 188. Benazal said that when a person comes to him with a pidyon means some money to redeem his soul. One is very ill, has to show him he wants to be certain he can ransom to win his life from the Malach HaMavos or from a sealed fate in heaven, Chas V'Shalom. He makes a pidyon nefesh. He buys back his soul by giving the necessary amount of money to the Tzaddik Emes, and then brings this pidyon to the heavenly court. We discussed that in detail previously. Benazal says that when a person comes to the Benazal with a pidyon for someone who is very ill or someone who is in deep trouble, somebody who is suffering very much, whether it's business, finances, enemies, Chas V'Shalom, any other kind of problems, Benazal said that he actually experiences the same pain as the person who is suffering. In other words, his sympathy is so sincere and so deep that he feels with that person every drop of pain and suffering that person endures, and even more so. He feels more the pain than the other person. The other person who is suffering could sometimes let his mind wander away from this problem. Benazal feels with him. He sympathizes to such an extent that he cannot let his mind wander. His mind concentrates on the suffering of this Jew, and he endures the pain and suffering just as much as that person, and even more. Benazal said that this is not simple. To really, honestly feel the pain of a fellow Jew when you yourself are in good circumstances, so a difficult item. You imagine that you sympathize with the person, you cluck your tongue, and that's it. To really feel that you too are suffering because of that person's problems and troubles, that takes a high madrega. Therefore, the Benazal said that he could not get himself to really feel this sensation until he was mamish mespalot to Hashem, he davened very hard to Hashem. He should be zecher to feel the actual pain and suffering of the person who's got this problem. Benazal said too, one time there was one of the Benazal's Talmidim asked the Benazal, begged the Benazal that since he was leaving for a while, Benazal was leaving, or Talmud was leaving him, he said he begged him that the Benazal should not forget him, keep him in mind. The Benazal said, looked at him in amazement and said, how can I ever forget any one of you, any one of my Talmidim? Every one of you Talmidim of mine has a separate place within my heart. Benazal's heart was large enough, big enough to contain every single one of his Talmidim, and at no time would Benazal forget any one of his Talmidim. He would keep them in mind constantly. This was said then. Obviously, this statement is meant for the future too. That even after the Benazal's astalkus, Benazal's heart is still the same. Within the Benazal's heart, there is still enough room to keep all of his Talmidim, past, present, and future. That anyone today who is honestly devoted to, dedicated to, Benazal's teachings and is truly Mekusher attached to Benazal, and without any doubt whatsoever, Benazal surely has this Talmud in mind. Anyone today who is a Breslover, the Emes, that person can know that the Benazal is fully aware of his existence, of his being, and is very much concerned with him, concerned with every move that he makes, every aliyah and yerida, as he has an ascent, as he rises in religion, improves in the study of Torah and davening, this brings simcha to Benazal. And as he has a descent, a yerida chas v'sholom. Every time that he drops, it causes actual pain. The Rabbeinu Zal in heaven. So this, at least, is a very important consolation, very happy thought, to know the value of being attached to the Rabbeinu Zal, that we are not non-entities. We actually exist. The name, we are very clearly identified by the Rabbeinu Zal himself. That's why we said the Rabbeinu Zal, knowing each one clearly, is the only one, obviously, who dictates, who decides those who will really become close to him. The most important venture of all, greatest zechiyah possible for any Jew, is to get to the Rabbeinu Zal seer in an Uman. But to get there, it takes a lot of schusim, a lot of tefillah is schusim, and then of course there are always manias, always barriers and obstacles that come up. Many who have attempted it and have failed because of these barriers and obstacles, many who were adamant, continued again and again until they made it. Now, it's not the obstacle itself. It's not the lack of money. It's not the government there that stops a person. It's not the lack of transportation. It's not the weather. It is only the consent of the Rabbeinu Zal. Rabbeinu Zal is the one that decides and determines who will get this sin. And this, of course, depends upon the sincerity of the person's faith in Rabbeinu Zal, how much, how well he believes in Rabbeinu Zal, how well he abides by Rabbeinu Zal's words and teachings, and above all, how much the person is mevatel himself. Destroys any trace, any vestige of gaiva, of self-esteem. The person is mevatel himself and says truly that I am not important, I'm only a cog, I'm only a part, a small part attached to the Tzaddik Emes. That person then truly becomes bottled to the Tzaddik Emes himself, becomes part of the Tzaddik Emes, and that person surely receives the consent of Rabbeinu Zal to get to the Tzion, which is the ultimate Aliyah. So in a word, we should find very deep satisfaction in the knowledge that Rabbeinu Zal has us deeply in mind and permanently, those who are true Talmidim. Nosson Zal tells a story that one time Rabbeinu Zal's grandchild was very ill, was bedridden, a young grandchild bedridden with smallpox, and Rabbeinu Zal spoke to Nosson Zal, bemoaned the plight of this child and spoke about his great degree of suffering. Rabbeinu Zal felt so much suffering, so much pain. He felt every drop of pain that this child felt. He experienced each pang of pain that comes with this type of illness. Rabbeinu Zal said that it's impossible for a person to understand the secret ways of Hashem. We cannot fathom the complex heavenly reasoning. There are questions that cannot be answered. Because, for example, the Arizal, the Ari HaKadosh, had a son who passed away. The Arizal said that this son was nostalgic for only one reason. Because in the Torah there are seidus, there are secrets. There is Torah Shebenigla, the revealed Torah, Taita Shebenista, the hidden Taita, which means the Kabbalah. In Kabbalah there are certain secrets that are unknown. Even if you read the Kabbalah Sforim, you learn them, learn the Zayda Kaddish, or the Kabbalah Sforim, you will see words, but you will not know what secret is hidden in them unless you have someone to reveal these secrets. The Zayda Kaddish without the Kisvei Arizal is a blank cipher. It's impossible to understand it, understand the meaning of some of those words. The Rizal came, was Megale, revealed these secrets. Now, the Rizal said that his son was nostalgic because of one single secret that the Rizal revealed to his main disciple, his chief Talmud, Reb Chaim Vital Zal. He course he revealed this secret, therefore his son died. That was a punishment. That was the result of revealing a secret. Of course, the Sayyidi Kodesh says, if an item is a secret, it must be kept a secret. It's a sin to reveal it. Rizal did reveal the secret. The secret was a statement in the Sayyidi Kodesh about one of the terminology used there. Rizal explained what this term meant, and for this, his son passed away. This is something that's impossible to understand, because after all, did the Rizal do something wrong by revealing the secret? Chaim Vitalzal begged him to reveal this. Chaim Vitalzal begged the Rizal to reveal the secret. The Rizal was forced to reveal it. He was born, he came to this world with one mission. Eidei HaKodesh's mission was to teach Reb Chaim Vitalzal everything that he wanted to know. That was the purpose for his coming to this world. So fulfilling that purpose, doing what he came for, fulfilling the mission, which was his primary mitzvah, for that his son passed away. That's paradoxical. How can we explain that? Benadol said, this is something that's impossible to explain. These are the secret, mysterious ways of heaven. There's no way to explain this. What was meant by it was referring to himself. Benadol endured a tremendous amount of pain and suffering himself because of illness, suffering with his children. Benadol had two sons, both passed away in their infancy. Suffering the health of the rest of his children, his daughters, his grandchildren. Why all this suffering? Because of the fact that Benazal was working, striving to bring close his Talmidim to Avedas Hashem, to serve Hashem. Now that was Benazal's purpose in coming to this world. His mission in life was the Mikarev Echikim. Bring close Jews who were distant from Avedas Hashem, bring them close to Hashem in order to enhance, to beautify Mikadesh the Shem Shemayim. That was his mission, and despite this, he had such a tremendous degree of Yesudim, of suffering, because of mysterious ways of heaven that cannot be explained. Benadol said that as far as this grandchild was concerned, who was suffering so much pain, the smallpox illness, that he would have liked to have taken the entire illness upon himself. Because every moan, every groan that the child makes, the Benazar could feel within his heart. He could feel every pang of pain there. Benazar said that this can be counted to my credit. Fact that it's not just my own grandchild that I have this feeling for, but every single Jew comes to me with a pidyon, who asks me to daven for him, I feel the pain and suffering of that Jew too. Especially, what hurts most deeply, the Benazal said, is when one of my followers drops, he falls away, he becomes estranged, that's the worst type of pain. That's obvious because it's like a person who gives birth. Gemara says that by being a kadosh someone, it's like giving birth to him. A talmid is like a son or a daughter. That's the same thing. Talmidim are like children, even more. Gemara says tulashen. It's like having given birth and like having created them. They were non-existent, they were created. That's how close a talmid is. And therefore, when a Talmud becomes the srachik, estranged, it's like a person who has a child who dies, who passes away. Imagine the pain and suffering, the hurt feelings come about then. This, Abinadol said, is the type of suffering that he has, but one of his Talmidim drops away. Also, one day, when Abinadol's child, Shlomo Ephraim Zal, he also mentioned this fact that he has so much yesudim, all because of his own talmidim, because he strives so hard imikariv, than to bring him close. Therefore, he has all the yisurim. Imagine Rabbeinu said that the Arizal revealed only one single secret. Reb Chaim tells him, therefore, his son died. He had such a punishment. How much more so, Rabbeinu does so many things, reveals so many secrets to his Talmidim, such tremendous secrets. Take one, for example, the Tikkun HaKloli, the secret of the 10 chapters of Tehillim, which is a secret that all tzaddikim in the past strived so hard all their lives to discover. Rabbeinu Zal was the one who discovered it and revealed it. That's just one of so many, the Sipurim Maaseis. All the rest of the secrets that so mysteriously bring Jews to a point where they begin to feel themselves vibrant and alive again. Ones whose souls were actually dead, they come to life. This is Tchias HaMesim, secret of Tchias HaMesim. Rabbeinu Zal revealed so many of these secrets to his Talmidim. Therefore, Rabbeinu Zal said, how much more so do I have suffering, all because of you, Talmidim, for whom I work so hard. Why is this? Why should I suffer if I am accomplishing a mission that's so vital and so sacred? This is a question that cannot be answered. These are the secrets of heaven. We must accept them, the Emunah Shleima. Whatever it is certainly for the good. It's not for us to ask, it's for us to accept. Ashrei to those people who have that degree of Emunah, where no questions are asked, and they say, Gamzu L'Teva, everything from heaven is done for the best. Naturally, these questions will be answered when a person gets to heaven. Then he'll smile and see how foolish it was to have had any slightest doubt whatsoever about the ways of heaven. Because the ways of Hashem are always, always righteous. Ikud is, a person should base his life on that pure emunah. Beinazal said many times, he imagined himself, trying to bring himself to picture the actual feeling, the actual case of death, as though he actually had died, or at least the process of dying, until he was able to really experience the process of dying and death. He told also that when he was very young, as a child, he tried to picture how his death would take place, what it would be like, how they would mourn his passing, all the different details that pertain to death. And the Benedict said it's a very difficult item to be able to accomplish this. Of course, that this goes much deeper. You know, that person who is zecher to that can be zecher to really say Kriya Shema b'Mesidas Nefesh Mamish. Person who say Kriya Shema Yisrael, as though he is dying for the sake of his religion, to get credit as though he actually is giving his life for the sake of Emunah. This Rabbeinu Zal accomplished when he was very young. Masazal tells one time, Rabbeinu Zal entered into the house. He spoke up and said these words, there is a problem. What should a person do when before him there stands a tall mountain? This mountain is a mountain of fire. It's a tall mountain of fire in front of him. On the other side of the mountain, there lies a very precious and desirable treasure. Greatest treasure conceivable. But it is impossible to get to this treasure unless one goes right through this mountain of fire. Only way to get to that treasure by going a straight line directly through the center of that mountain of fire. Now, the problem is multiplied because a person cannot say, no problem, I won't go through the mountain of fire, I'll do without the treasure. This is impossible. The person must get to that treasure. He doesn't have any choice in this matter. He must get to that treasure, a desirable treasure, and the only way to get to it is through that mountain of fire. These are the words that Rabbeinu Zal spoke then. And that was it. A few days later, again, Abinazel spoke about this. He smiled, he laughed, and he said, I've already found the answer to this question. What to do in this case? And that's the end of this paragraph. This is one of the most mysterious sayings yet. I've never found an explanation on this paragraph yet, anywhere. Surprisingly, however, it is permissible for a person to attempt to interpret this. I once mentioned what I felt was a clear, true interpretation of this paragraph, or at least one of, possibly a few. But what is very clear is that this interpretation would fit perfectly the kavana, the intention, in these words. And it would solve this problem too. It would define the terms used here. Especially, it's a story within a story. Note that the wording is, besides the problem, Abinazel entered and spoke. Later, Abinazel smiled, laughed, and said that he had the answer. Why are those words added? Well, this, obviously, it seems, is based on a fact the Gemara speaks about. The Gemara tells us that when Mashiach comes, after Mashiach's coming, there will be, of course, a celebration. Why not? The biggest event possible, the coming of Mashiach. At the same time, there will also be a memorial meeting, a very sad assembly of all Jews, where all Jews will mourn and cry. This is what the Pasuk says in the Navi, Zechariah. At the time of Mashiach's coming, all Jews will assemble to mourn and to cry. And the Gemara says, Mashiach will come, why should they mourn and cry then? It should be the happiest occasion possible. The Gemara answers there are two reasons. One, because they will mourn the death of Mashiach ben Yosef. The first Mashiach, Mashiach ben Yosef, they'll mourn his death. The Pasuk says they will mourn the body who was slain by a sword. That's the wording. This body slain by a sword, this mourning period, for whom is this? Mashiach ben Yosef will be killed in the battle just before Mashiach ben David comes to take over and rule as king. Second definition, the reason given this pasuk is, the reason for mourning will be that tzaddikim and the yeshuim will assemble together in front of their eyes. Hashem will take the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, and he will shecht. He will slay the Yetzer Hara, and there they will cry when they will see this body slain. Why will they all cry? The Gemara says Tzaddikim will cry because in front of their eyes there will appear this apparition. What will the Yetzer Hara look like? What will the Satan look like? Like a giant size mountain. Why will they cry? They'll cry and say, how could we ever have been able to overcome a mountain like this in our time? We never succumbed, we never surrendered to the schemes, the wiles, the attacks of this Yetzer. How could we have defeated this giant size mountain? They'll cry over it. The Rishoyim will see this Yetzer. And to them he'll appear as a thin strand of hair. And they'll cry and bewail the fact that all their lives they gave in to this tiny little hair. They couldn't overcome the taivas, the desires of something that is so weak and so slight. For this they have to lose their Gan Eden. This they have to go to Gehenna for because of something that's so infinitesimal. For this the Rishonim shall cry. And this is what's meant by, we speak about Hashem will send the Jews to inherit Esav Harasha. The Malach of Esav is the Satan, the Yetzirah, and his place, inherit his place, is called Har Seir. Har Seir, combination of Har, a mountain as far as Dikim are concerned, Seir, a hair as far as Rishonim are concerned. This will be inherited, be destroyed and wiped out. He's a combination of both. Tzadikim, he appears as a mountain, to the Shonim, he appears as a hair. We can understand why the Shonim will cry. Of course they'll cry. For this, they were so foolish, they couldn't see the light. They're so tiny an item. They had to give away their whole future life, Chas v'Shalom. There's a lot to cry about. But why should Tzadikim cry? We could see they're being amazed at the tremendous size of this Yetzirah, this Malach, this powerful angel. Fine. But they should be overjoyed. Despite the greatness of this angel, they still were able to succeed in defeating him. This is a joy. Look at the reward they have now. The answer is, the Mefarshim say that Tzadikim will cry because they will see this mountain and they'll realize that in truth, they did not defeat this mountain. It wasn't their act. Gemara says, no matter how much a person tries, no matter how hard he strives to overcome the Yetzer Hara, this angel, this archangel, but if not for the fact that Hashem helps the Tzadikim, then surely he truly fall victim to the Yetzer Hara. He's not strong enough. Yitzhara is too powerful and too great. So therefore, Tzadikim will cry. The Gemara finishes with the words, the Afek HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tamei Elohim. Hashem, too, will wonder with Tzadikim who marvel, how be'inei Hashem yipolei. The eyes of Hashem will also be a wonder, how could they have overcome this mountain? What is the meaning of that last sentence? The answer is, that Tzadikim will be very worried, will be afraid, how can they overcome this tall mountain? Mountain of this fiery evil, Yetzirah is a Malach Shel Esh, a mountain of fire who seeks to destroy, to inflame, to arouse a person's heart with sin. How could a Tzadik have been able to overcome this mountain? Obviously, he didn't. It was the help of Hashem. In that case, he doesn't deserve reward. He's lost out. All his battle during his lifetime was in vain. It's the credit of heaven, not his own. A person does not get credit unless he works for it. He didn't earn this. It's unearned schat. Then the Gemara says, Hashem will marvel with Tzadikim. Hashem will console Tzadikim and say, don't worry. I also marvel at your greatness. It's not only the act of Hashem, is the greatness of Tzadikim who were able to overcome this Yetzirah. Because true, that without the help of Hashem, they could not have defeated the Yetzirah. However, the Gemara says, whom does Hashem help? If one comes to purify himself, if one attempts, gives his utmost to defeat the Yetzirah, then does Hashem help them to be victorious. So Hashem marvels at the efforts of the Tzadikim, how much sacrifice they put into this, and how they ultimately defeated the Yetzirah. Which means that Hashem will accede, given to the Tzadikim the right that they have fully earned the credit, the reward that is due them. In this case, we can see, the Menazel's question was, in order to get to that desirable treasure, what desirable treasure? The only treasure that is really, truly a treasure is one that is eternal, one that's everlasting, which means a heavenly life in Gan Eden. In order to get that Gan Eden, there is no way except to go through to do battle the Melchemes HaYetzer. You must battle the Yetzirah. You cannot get to Gan Eden without that battle. Must be by going through this mountain of fire. A person who succeeds to him person that really attempts it to him, this is a mountain. A mountain of fire, this is the Yetzirah, the Satan, and to battle this mountain, to get through to the other side, how can a person do it? Ben Ezra asked this question, obviously, very sadly. It was the same as a tzaddikim who cried, how can we overcome this mountain? Note that later the Ben Ezra came and left. Hashem said, tzaddikim, stop crying. Dry your tears, because I am with you. I console you with the fact you don't have to cry, you can rejoice that you have fully earned this. Ben Ezra smiled and laughed and said, now it has become known to me the answer to this question. Hashem himself reveals the answer and says, despite the fact that Hashem helps, it's only to those who have strived their utmost and who have fully deserved and earned and merited the reward that is due. Therefore, they smile in happiness. This is the answer to the question of the tzaddikim. And this, of course, teaches us a lesson too, that these tzaddikim who are great enough to actually defeat the Satan, to bring about his demise, his end, imagine the good fortune of those who are mekusha be'emes to these tzaddikim. They can cling to the tzaddikim who will help them in this battle against the Yetzirah. We are very tiny in a battle against so gigantic a mountain of fire. What chance do we stand? But when we go behind, attached to the tzaddik emes, we are then immune. We become immune to this fire. We can go through this mountain of fire and can actually reach the other side to this tremendous treasure. We should be zechut to maintain that degree of emunah in the tzaddik emes and thereby be successful in victoriousness. Dosan Zal tells that one time he was speaking to Rabbein Ezel. He said to Rabbein Ezel, it's strange that there are people living then. Imagine this was said then, how much more so it holds true today. People living then who refused to accept, to believe, that there are great tzaddikim living at that time, as there were in former generations. People believe that there are great tzaddikim in the past, Tanoim, Amroim, the time of the Gemara, a little later, but at this late date, which is only about less than 200 years ago, this was over more than 200 years after the Arizal, it was after the passing of the Baal Shem HaKadosh. People said there are no more great tzaddikim alive, they do not exist anymore. The era of tzaddikim is finished. This Rabbein Ezel said to Rabbein Ezel, Rabbein Ezel stated very emphatically, you must know this as absolute. If one believes in Hashem, if, then he must simultaneously believe that there are tzaddikim also. Because the two go together, Tiferes and Yesod Chad Hu. Hashem and Tzaddik are one. They are inseparable. They cannot exist one without the other. Just as Hashem surely, unquestionably exists, so too there are tzaddikim surely in every generation. Nosson Zal says, understand this very, very deeply. Don't ever let this stray from your mind. Never a person has doubts. Chas v'sholom. He says, we learn in the Gemara, we learn in history about the miracles these great tzaddikim performed, about how holy they were, how sanctified. Where do you find such individuals in our time? A person has that germ of doubt in his mind. Stop. Think. Understand the words of Rabbein Ezel. In those days, in those generations, there was Hashem. Hashem existed. In this generation, the same Hashem continues to exist. Hashem is Hoya, Hoyve, Yehiyah, past, present, and future. And just as positive as in those days, there were tzaddikim with Hashem, so too, in our time, and at all times, there are tzaddikim. As sure as the existence of Hashem, so too is the positive existence of a tzaddik. Because the world can exist only on the foundation of the world, which is the Yesod, tzaddik Yesod Olam. The difference is only that in certain times, tzaddikim are revealed. They are more revealed, they are more seen than other times. At other times, tzaddikim are more nela. They're hidden. The light is hidden. They don't show themselves or reveal themselves. The fact is that tzaddikim exist at all times. To illustrate that even deeper, if we go back honestly, Lessenzal says that, let's say today, what would the reason for this claim be, for this question? People will say, you have tzaddikim today. Show me one today who could divide the waters of the Red Sea. Show me a Moshe Rabbeinu. If you cannot, at least show me a David HaMelech. At least show me a Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Show me one of those and I'll accept. The answer is that this word show me existed in those days too. Even in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, when it would seem to anybody that there was no question of doubt, is there a tzaddik in that generation? Could you ask for better? The fact is that a large portion, a great percentage of people at that time who were very learned too and religious still rebelled and disbelieved in the tzaddik emes at that time. People turned away from Moshe Rabbeinu, revolted against him. You want a tzaddik emes? What's better than the Yedaya Mehemna, the greatest tzaddik of all time? You cannot be born in any generation where you'll have a bigger leader, a bigger tzaddik than you have at that time. And still, at that time, there were those who turned away. So that question existed then too. Give us a leader. Korach said, we want a leader. Who? Not the one we have. We want a leader. We do not have a leader that is, we could consider a tzaddik emes. And so too many others rebuilt Chmono Islam. And this same thing went on in every single generation. To say today, for example, if we only would have one like the Baal Shem Tov living today, would there be a problem of a tzaddik emes? Everyone would say there exists a tzaddik emes today, a very holy tzaddik. We have stopped the need for searching any further. We're all satisfied. Are we all satisfied? Do you think that we today are wiser and more learned than the people living in the generation of Baal Shem Tov? That was a generation that was packed with B'nai Torah. The average person then, the average person was far more learned than the biggest Ge'inim of today. Far more learned. The simplest person then knew much more Torah than the wisest men of today. And yet those, not simple people, but the advanced people, the leaders then, rebelled against the Baal Shem Tov to the extent where they said, where is a tzaddik today? We don't see any. One was known to them that Baal Shem Tov's light was completely dark. Those people who were so learned and so advanced, the light of the Baal Shem Tov was completely unseen. So we see then, therefore, that at no time can we say honestly, if we had this tzaddik or that tzaddik, we'd be satisfied. In each generation, there definitely exists tzaddikim. One who does not feel it, one who does not believe it, one who does not see it, is because that person's neshama is too dark to receive the light of the tzaddik emes in that time. That person's neshama lacks the true receptacle for this light. What is the receptacle to receive the light? Emunah, emunah tzaddikim. person has emunah tzaddikim, they'll see the tzaddikim, realize, they'll feel his existence. If one doesn't have the emunah, he will not get to see it. Without emunah, it's impossible, no matter when you live, no matter what generation, no matter who the tzaddikim of that time is. So therefore, the key to understanding, knowing about the tzaddik, which definitely exists just as sure as Hashem exists, is to believe that there is such a tzaddik. The words of Rabbeinu Zal is, if a person believes in Hashem, srichim lahamen, he is compelled, he is forced, he must believe that there are also tzaddikim. He must believe that there is no other alternative. If he does not believe that, his faith is weak, his faith is worthless. Then again, we learn too, that any person, no matter when or where, a person who says that he truly, honestly believes in Hashem, he states that with the firmest statement of faith, but he says he does not believe in tzaddikim, and not only is his emunah in tzaddikim lacking, but his emunah in Hashem too is worthless. He does not really have emunah in Hashem. It's words which are meaningless and worthless. It is impossible to believe in Hashem without simultaneously believing in the tzaddikim, in tzaddikim ritim. When he has both, then both are solid. If he has one alone, that one too is baseless. This is what the Rabbeinu Zal taught. This is what the Nosson Zal stated so clearly. V'hovein me'oid. Understand very much, very carefully and very clearly, that this is the basis of emunah. The frat in the darkness of this generation, time when it would seem, practically everyone would say, where? How do you find the tzaddikim? Where do you find one that is recognized by the whole world? There are so many conflicts. Each one says his Rebbe is the greatest, and all other Rebbes are worthless. And with so much dispute going on, dissension, how can you say that there is a tzaddik emes in the world? The answer, of course, is that there is more than one tzaddik in the world. There are many. A Jew is supposed to believe there are many and supposed to respect, honor, have faith in all of them. There is, of course, one tzaddik emes. There must be one tzaddik emes, who is the root, the trunk of the tree from which all the other branches, other tzaddikim, come from. But at least, if he believes in all these tzaddikim simultaneously, then he couples them together and is certain of having in that group the tzaddikim. He believes in all tzaddikim, without question. He will not attack or discredit any one of them. One who has that kind of emunah, Nosson Zal says, is the key to finding the tzaddikim. Because if you have a simple emunah in all tzaddikim, eventually you'll ferret out, you'll dig deeply enough to find out who the tzaddikim is. Naturally, ashrei to that person who is zecha to find the true light, the light of the tzaddikim. And as we know, as we've been told, we've been taught, Nosson Zal's words, that those who are close to the Rabbeinu Zal, those are the tzaddikim amitiyim of each generation, till Mashiach comes. So of that we are certain. When we say in before our tefillah that we are mamin, we are mekasher ourselves to the tzaddikim amitiyim shebedeinu, we are speaking about those who are truly close to Rabbeinu Zal, part of Rabbeinu Zal, the leaders, the true leaders of this dor. We should be zecher b'yemes to strengthen ourselves in this type of emunah, strengthen ourselves in our iskashus to Rabbeinu Zal, to the tzaddik emes, and strengthen ourselves in our emunah to the tzaddikim amitiyim of our generation. That is the true test. The true test to prove our faith in Rabbeinu Zal is by having faith in tzaddikim of our generation too. In the zechus of that type of emunah, which then proves our emunah in Hashem, and surely we will merit seeing with our eyes the bias goel tzaddik, tzaddik emes of the future, the coming of Mashiach Tzadkenu, the Simcha, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the Mapala of all the Sinai Yisrael throughout the entire world, and the Gula Shleima and Yeshua Kolis from Heda. Amen. Amen.